Today we're going to be covering production machine learning monitoring, principles, patterns, and techniques. It's going to be both a theory-based session together with a set of hands-on examples that we're going to be covering. There's quite a lot to cover in this presentation, so we're going to have to rush through quite a few key pieces. So a bit about myself. My name is Alejandro Saucedo. I am engineering director at Selden, chief scientist at the Institute for Ethical AI, and a member at large at the ACM. To tell you a bit more about Selden, we are an open source machine learning deployment company. We built one of the most popular Kubernetes-based machine learning deployment frameworks. And we're going to be using Selden, Selden Core, for the examples today. And the Institute is a research center that focuses in developing standards and tools for the responsible development and operation of machine learning systems. And we're part of the Linux Foundation, which allows us to contribute from a very practical perspective. But today we're going to be covering some of the motivations of why should we care about ML monitoring, some of the principles to achieve efficient and reliable monitoring, some key patterns that have been abstracted to the machine learning world, and then a set of hands-on examples that we're going to be switching over. So the slides can be found in this link, and then throughout the presentation, you will see a set of links below the slide where you'll be able to test the open source examples yourselves. So let's set the scene. And we all are aware that even without the machine learning context, production systems, and more specifically, production machine learning systems are hard. For us, we interact with contexts that require and that involve thousands of machine learning models, which you can imagine the heterogeneity when it comes to specialized hardware, to complex dependency graphs for data and data flow, the compliance requirements, the reproducibility demands, lineage, metadata, et cetera. And I have actually a talk online that you can check, particularly in this area of machine learning operations. And I guess now it's not longer popular demand, but we are now aware that the life cycle of the model doesn't finish once it's deployed. If anything, it only begins once it's fully trained, right? It's deployed, it's potentially retrained, it's probably superseded by a better performing model, it's promoted to different environments. So ultimately, there's quite a lot of time that goes once the model has been deployed, and quite a lot of best practices that need to be involved throughout its life cycle. And more specifically, what we're going to be looking at today is we're going to be taking a model. We're going to be trying to take a very simple machine learning use case, as we're going to be covering very complex terminology around the machine learning space. We're going to be sending some predictions to this model that is going to be deployed as a microservice to see what can be monitored. We're going to be sending feedback to this model to be able to get some more advanced statistical monitoring. And then we're going to be delving into more specific terminology like explainability as a architectural pattern, outlier detection, and drift detection. And as I mentioned, we're going to be taking, you know, the hello world of machine learning, the Iris classifier. It's going to be a simple sort of underlying machine learning model, but to be able to focus on the overarching terminology that we're going to be using. So specifically, we're going to have an input, which is an array of four numbers, floats, and then an output, which is basically a class from three classes. That's basically what we're going to be interacting with. We're going to be interacting with this as a black box in a way, primarily as we care primarily of the inputs and outputs. And this is why the premise is set this way. In order for us to be able to deploy this model, we are assuming that there has already been a data science process to identify the best performance, best data distribution to use to train this model. And in this case, we're going to just be taking a simple model, training it, and then taking this artifact and deploying that, right? What that really looks like is specifically, you know, getting the Iris data set, then getting a train test split, and then training a model, which in this case, it's just a logistic regression or a random forest. It doesn't really matter for our specific use case, which then allow us to actually perform inference. So in an unseen data point, we would get the prediction. Then we would be able to actually export and persist that model, in this case, as a pickle. This is the pickle that we're going to be deploying. And ultimately, this is what we're going to be using around in this presentation. So the way that we're going to be containerizing and deploying it is using Seldon. We're going to be able to leverage directly the artifact or to create a Python wrapper that then will become a fully fledged microservice using these tools. So it converts it from either artifact or Python class into an actual microservice where the inputs and outputs can be the data that you send to this model as a prediction. So the input would be an input array and the prediction would be one of these three classes. But now let's see what is the anatomy of a production deployed machine learning stack, the end-to-end area. And in this case, you have the training data, the artifact store, basically the persistence of the state of your production environment and the inference data. So for the first step, you have your experimentation. This is basically the model training, your hyperparameter tuning. It uses the input training data and it creates an artifact, right? This is what we just did. We exported an artifact. Then you're able to deploy that programmatically, right? So that means that with some continuous integration process that would be in charge of, you know, creating that artifact, putting it in an object store and deploying it, so that then once you deploy it, it can go into your environments, your respective development environments, production environments as a real-time model, batch model. With Seldon Core, we're going to be using it to enable us to deploy this model into a Kubernetes cluster. And then every single input and output data, as you would with another microservice, would be stored in an Elastic Prometheus data store or a metrics or logs data store, which ultimately allows you not just to have persistence, but also to be able to use for then again training data. So what are the monitoring metrics that are involved in production ML systems? So you have the usual microservice metrics, performance metrics and tracing. You have more specific machine learning metrics, statistical performance. You have things like outliers and drift detection. We're going to cover that, what that means in more detail. And you have explainability tools that often are discussed in an offline analytical aspect. But in this case, we're going to be discussing it in a monitoring production real-time or semi-real-time basis. But these are the core things that we're going to be delving in this topic. So let's start with the first part, and I'm sure that many of our fellow, you know, programmers in this audience are going to be more familiar with this, performance monitoring. And the principles are being able to monitor your microservice on its running underlying performance. So this is to identify potential bottlenecks, runtime red flags, malfunctions, or identify something preemptively before it actually goes wrong. And then, of course, being able to debug and diagnose unexpected performance. And in this case, it's in the context of our machine learning model, right? Our machine learning model that we deployed crashes, behaves incorrectly. It has major throughputs, spikes, etc., etc. So that's basically the things that we want to look at. And what that looks in more practical terms, this is things like request per second, latency per request, CPU memory data utilization, distributed tracing. So to go back to our example, what we can do now is take that model artifact and first of all, deploy it into our Kubernetes cluster, basically pointing to that model artifact using Seldon to convert it into a microservice. Now we actually have a microservice that we can send requests and receive predictions of exactly the same model that we deployed. We can see that our model is now deployed and we can actually send data for it to basically process, right? So we're gonna send now some data, it's sending requests, and then is receiving the predictions. Ultimately, what we're now gonna see is we're gonna start seeing some requests per second. We're gonna start seeing some insights on the latency. Ultimately, we will also be able to see the performance in our cluster sort of changing. We can see that the CPU utilization is now being in use. And this is the usual stuff that you would see in a microservice, right? This is not something new. But ultimately, if the model crashes or has a wrong prediction, we would be able to see this in the number of success requests or the number of 400s or 500 requests, right? This is basically the number of errors that potentially appear in our system, right? So this is basically some of the core components. Now we can see that there's 7 requests per second, right? So this is basically the usual things that you would see in your normal microservice, right? So let's actually pause that and let's have a look deeper. So the patterns that you would see here is what we just said. Take your model artifacts, deploy them as a microservice, and then extract the similar insights that you would for your usual microservices, metrics, logs, tracing, etc. But now let's go one level deeper, statistical monitoring principles, right? What is the statistical monitoring? This is basically monitoring specific to statistical properties of the machine learning performance. So this is things like calculating using the corrected labels so that we can actually understand how the model is performing compared to how it was performing when we trained it, right? This means that if it performed really well during training, we would deploy it, see on scene data, but until we provide corrected and correct labels, we can then see the actual performance. This is things like accuracy, precision, recall, and can be used to benchmark either models in real time, one against another one as A/B tests, and it can also be used for evaluating in a long-term perspective. We will see more advanced concepts in a bit. This is key, and this is one of the core insights that we've sort of like extended within Seldon, so that it is used as a first-class citizen so that you can have your models almost out of the box with these components. And what this looks like in practice is things that you would often see as a data scientist: true positives, true negatives, false positives, false negatives, which can be converted into accuracy, precision, recall, specificity, and then even allowing you to have more specialized metrics like KL divergence, etc. But I mean, ultimately what this is, you know, even though we're seeing something very specific to machine learning, this just basically means machine learning specific to the use case that you are interacting with. In this case, it's machine learning, right? But ultimately, it's abstracting some of these core patterns that we would see into reusable components. And this is important for us because we deal with thousands of models, right? We can't have every single thing, every single deployed model wrapped in a Flask wrapper with an unstandardized interface with super specialized metrics. We can't expect all of our DevOps and SREs to be machine learning experts as well, right? And from that same perspective, let's now delve into architectural patterns. And this is what we coined as the statistical monitoring pattern, the statistical feedback pattern. And this is basically, if you remember, we deployed our model. What does our model do right now? It sends inference data and returns a prediction. But what can we do beyond that? We can actually make it such that it doesn't only send the data, but it stores the inference data,